Superbeats by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Superbeats is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have unhealthy blood pressure. Superbeats helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeats.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at danasbeats.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to Superbeats. Welcome to the show. Happy Monday. It was the hot soundbite that was absolutely everywhere, all over the internet, unless you were never online over the weekend. I'm Dana Lash at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. So media spent all weekend reacting to this video that they already reacted to over a year ago. It was one of the most amazing, and the guy who actually started started it out had ended up deleting his original tweet. The whole thing goes back to MS-13. And the soundbite was from C-SPAN. And it was from May of last year. And I'm going to see if I can bring this up for you. It was of May of last year. And it was the president who was talking. He was specifically discussing MS-13.
Thank you, Mr. President. He was taking some questions about MS-13. California are now in an untenable position when it comes to trying to figure out. Now we have state law, we have federal laws, and here we are stuck in the middle. Sheriffs, especially, because most of us run our county jails. When there became a legal challenge to the 48-hour holds for ICE, it was very frustrating for us. So what I did is I invited ICE to put their officers in my jail so they're able to do their work. We didn't have the staffing to be able to help. That is causing us all kinds of turmoil. So here we are, stuck in the middle, trying to decide. We have federal law, we have state law, and that's why I welcomed Attorney General Sessions' lawsuit, because that will provide us clarity that we need. Bad guys, they cannot come in and talk to people in our jail unless they
other law. Let me play what I have, because it's a disgrace.
We're showing our hand, and we're working hard, and I think it'll all come together. Because people want it to come together. It's so ridiculous. The concept that we're even talking about it is so ridiculous. We'll take care of it, Margaret.
Yeah, I'm going to play this. Can you please stop that damn audio? Thank you.
Come in. We're stopping a lot of them. But we're taking people out of the country. You wouldn't believe how bad these people are. These aren't people. These are animals. And we're taking them out of the country at a level and at a rate that's never happened before. And because of the weak laws, they come in fast. We get them, we release them, we get them again, we bring them out. It's crazy. The dumbest laws, as I said before, the dumbest laws on immigration in the world. So we're going to take care of it, Margaret. We'll get it done. We're going to ask that man right there because that man can do it. Right now he's the most important man.
So this was when the president was during a roundtable that he was having with a bunch of lawmakers, including some from California, and they were discussing sanctuary cities, and a couple of things had been brought up at that particular time, specifically as it related to MS-13 and murders that had taken place regarding that involved MS-13 members, and there have been tons of them. I mean, you had in Long Island, a woman and her toddler were shot several times in the head by MS-13 murderers, gang members. You had a number of other individuals who've been murdered by MS-13, including Nissa Mickens and Kayla Cuevas, who were in Houston, Texas. They were beaten so savagely that the police that were investigating the case said that it was brutality beyond which they've never before seen. And these were two teenage girls that happened to be just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And they were brutally, brutally murdered. So somehow this soundbite ended up, I think everyone is still confused as to how this soundbite was actually reintroduced back into public discourse after it happened in May of last year. But all of the same people who were trying to spin it and overreact to it then were the exact same people who tried to do the same damn thing, and they spun it and they overreacted to it and decided to defend MS-13 again. You remember the last time that everyone decided to defend it? Where in the hell? Like, nobody even checks this stuff. Nobody even listens or looks at the date that no one stopped to think, oh, wow, this sounds really familiar. Where have we heard this before? Maybe May of 2018. Here Trump is again. I'm talking about verified journalists at outlets with which you are familiar who were saying, look, if this isn't further proof that the president is a racist, here he is again referring to all immigrants as MS-13 or as animals. He was specifically referring to MS-13 as animals. And there were even some kind of moderate lefties out there saying, yeah, you guys are referring to these remarks as new. It's important to point out that they were made in May of 2018, not yesterday. And even Snopes pointed out the fact, I hate even citing Snopes because they had to begrudgingly give Trump credit here. But they actually had to admit that even he was discussing MS-13 based on the entire discussion that had been taking place all afternoon with MS-13 and the foothold that they have in California. So you had, I mean, there were Democrat primary candidates, there were verified blue check journalists at places like the New York Times and Reuters, everywhere else. All of these people comparing what the president was saying to Hitler. Well, Hitler referred to people as animals. He called the Jewish people animals. And here, they actually even were sharing memes where an entire quote was made up, where the word animals was used as an adjective for undocumented immigrants. And they made up a quote and assigned it to Trump, which was entirely false. And even the... when you look at the, because it was the Margaret Mims, who's the Fresno County Sheriff. And by the way, Margaret Mims, I like her because she's a pro 2A sheriff out there in Fresno County. She was the one who was discussing this with him, and they were specifically talking about gangs, and they were talking about how even before the stuff that you heard, they were actually talking about MS-13 and saying that it was. ICE is not allowed to find the bad guys, et cetera, and how they are using the influx of immigrants, people who are trying to enter the country illegally or people who are trying to seek amnesty, how they were using those individuals to come in and sort of, you know, well, there's too many for you to pay attention to, so you're going to ignore the fact that we're here with them. That's the kind of thing. And Mims even said, after the president was talking about it, he says, you know, the concept that we're talking about is ridiculous. And Mims says, thank you. There could be an MS-13 member. If they don't reach a certain threshold, I cannot tell ICE about it. When they were talking about individuals who enter the country illegally. And so even after all of that happened, because NBC had originally reported him saying animals, he had clarified. He goes, I'm talking about MS-13. But it didn't matter because the media went with it. So here we are again in April of 2019. And I can't even believe that this is a conversation and that it trended and that it was absolutely everywhere all over the weekend. I can't believe that they're actually relitigating this. They reacted to this soundbite as though it was a brand new press conference that he had. They acted like it was brand new. It's a brand new thing. I mean, he's talking. I mean, what in the world? So this is what, and then they tried to act like they didn't do it. I mean, I'm just shocked. But this is where, you know, by the way, the Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing. Because people can't even verify, or they refuse to even verify where, I don't know. And then you had Ben Rhodes, let me put up, because I have several things. So Ben Rhodes was one of the he was one of the Obama people. He had said, he had tweeted on April 5th, just a couple of days ago, if the leader of any other country said this, we would view it as horrifying. And he presented, because again, this guy had this tweet, some rando who ended up deleting it. None of these other people deleted theirs. And they all reacted to the soundbite as if it was brand new. Britt Hume was out there saying, well, this is a retweet of a fake quote of Trump in which a comment about MS-13 from last year was passed off as a current comment about asylum seekers. He goes, maybe Rhodes, one of many who fell for this bogus quote, would take it down. I mean, it was him, so many other people. I've never seen, and you even had like moderate kind of, you know, sort of on the fence, somewhat kind of Democrat journalists out there saying, okay, wait a minute, stop. This is not correct. Pete Buttigieg even responded to this. He had tweeted, you do not refer to human beings as animals. You just don't. He even retweeted and was responding to this as though it was, as it was a current quote. But let me pause here though. Who the hell cares if it's current? You're talking about people. What is the MS-13 slogan? The MS-13 slogan is bind, rape, and kill. No, wait. It's like the same as the BTK killer, isn't it? Oh, no. Kill, rape, and control is their motto. The official motto of MS-13 is kill, rape, and control. They have beheaded victims, just, I mean, absolute innocent, everyday people. They have beheaded victims. They have, there was one where they ripped the heart out of one of their particular victims. It's awful. I could get into and I'm looking at a number of cases. I could get into the horrificness of MS-13, how they killed a guy. One guy was just on a New York subway platform. There's a real problem with MS-13 in Long Island, in Houston, and elsewhere. And they are absolutely brutal, and they're animals. And you have all of these Democrat candidates out there, including Pete Buttigieg, defending the fact, oh, well, don't call them animals. We have more on this. Also, there's a problem with Democrats. Democrat presidential candidates and strategists are now trying to figure out how to appeal to working class white men who voted for the president in 2016. Maybe they should just call them racists. And because that's a problem, a real problem that they're struggling with. Also, an update on the Jussie Smollett stuff. So Kim Fox is infuriated. She says that the only reason that people are criticizing what she's doing, the only reason that people are unhappy with her leadership, as she has put it, and everything that she has done, is because she is black and also a woman. She is a black woman, and that is why she's receiving so much criticism. It's not that her office has a super long history of just giving wrist slaps to people who've committed serious felonious crimes. No, she says that the outrage is specifically due to the fact that she is a black woman and that all of this is because of racism. This is the defense that she's trying to run. Unbelievable. We have today in stupidity, we have Florida man. We have all kinds of stuff and all of the latest of 2020. I got some 2020 stuff for you, too, that you should probably be aware of. We'll get into all of that. Patriot Mobile is my cell phone service, has been for the past 5 years now. And when I look at what the primary candidates are running on, whenever I see them give their elevator pitch for socialism, and then whenever I hear the president talk about the free and market and capitalism, I mean, obviously that's why his approval rating is 51%, because people respond more to those policies than anything else. And you do not want to use a big cell phone service that donates money to, you know, the people that you're going to vote against and issues that you're going to vote against. So you need to switch today. Join Patriot Mobile and get excellent nationwide coverage on the same network as Big Mobile, but with plans starting at $25 a month. You can join me and thousands other Americans, and make sure that your phones work for you. You know, you use them every day, so why not put them to work for the things in which you believe? Switch to Patriot Mobile. Let freedom ring. Call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Use code Dana or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana to waive your activation fee. That's 1-800-A-PATRIOT, code Dana.
Superbeats by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Superbeats is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have have unhealthy blood pressure. SuperBeets helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try SuperBeets risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeets.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeets with your first order at danasbeets.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeets.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to SuperBeets.
Broadcasting from the Lone Star State to your town.
The Dana Show.
I love the song. I love Susie Sue. I just want to just, we should just play music today. It's Monday. This is Stargazer by Susie and the Banshees. Anyway, I just have to wait to the chorus. I know we only have a couple minutes. All right. So let's go ahead and kick it into headlines. The first one is one that is of such karma, I just can't.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I don't like poachers because they screw it up for legitimate hunters. Poachers suck. And CBS News discussed how a suspected rhino poacher was killed by an elephant stampede. Well, it says an elephant, but another story from BBC said it was an elephant stampede. So, more than one elephant. And then he was killed apparently during the encounters with an elephant, with the elephants. And then his body was devoured by lions. It was Kruger National Park. They said literally they were only able to recover his skull and a pair of pants. So they said that the victim, one of his accomplices ran away. They said that the victim and said the family said that he had been killed by the elephant and that they were trying to poach a rhino. They said indications found at the scene suggested that a pride of lions had devoured the remains. Karma, 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 karma. Yep, there you go. That's how, hey, don't be messing. Don't be messing. I had some troll that was in my timeline, like all apparently over the weekend. And I wasn't online hardly at all over the weekend, but I ended up seeing this. I've never made this comparison, but I'm going to now. USA Today says London's murder rate now tops New York City's. This is just from April 3rd. They said British police launched another murder investigation into the shooting death of a 17-year-old girl. That case pushed the homicide rate to a new troubling milestone. London's murder rate has surpassed New York City's for the first time. London tallied, and they have stricter gun laws than New York even. I mean, New York, you can own a gun in your home, but you can never take it anywhere out. But in London, you can't even do that. So they said that overall London is in 2018, they are 2019, actually just in the first part of this month, that London, the homicide rate has increased, and particularly also for knife-related crime, 31 deaths so far just this year in 2019. Hmm. So see, now I did make that comparison because someone said I had, and I actually hadn't until just now, so now I have. According to police, 5 people were killed, 50 others wounded in shootings during a 24-hour period from Saturday into Sunday in Chicago. Among the victims, an 11-year-old and at least 11 teenagers. Of course, there is, you know, you're looking at gang violence, you're also looking at drug violence, and then you're looking at some individuals as the gang and drug violence is going on that end up being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's awful. No one's going to talk about it, though, particularly not the white Anglo-Saxon trust fund Bloomberg anti-gun people. Moving on, Alec Baldwin teases a presidential run, saying that beating Trump would be so easy, is his quote. Like beating photographers? The president designates Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps a, quote, foreign terrorist organization in new efforts to pressure Tehran. Also, during the, the BBC's live mummy thing, the Egypt live thing last night, they unearthed this sarcophagus, and there was a golden cross that was on top of this mummy that they were seen as we were seen for the first time. Fascinating stuff. We got a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere. 2020 stuff up next.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at KelTecWeapons.com.
Follow along on Twitter at DLash.
And official Dana Lash on Facebook.
The U.S.-Israel relationship is one of the most important relationships that we have on the planet. And that relationship, if it is to be successful, must transcend partisanship in the United States, and it must be able to transcend a prime minister who is racist, as he warns about Arabs coming to the polls, who wants to defy any prospect for peace as he threatens to annex the West Bank, and who has sided with a far-right racist party in order to maintain his hold on power. Now, I don't think that Benjamin Netanyahu represents the true will of the Israeli people or the best interests of the U.S.-Israel relationship or any path to peace for the people of the Palestinian Authority, the Gaza Strip, and the state of Israel.
What I find the most fascinating about this Beto O'Rourke soundbite, and he was at, I'm watching the video now, he was at Keene State College in New Hampshire. And he's been doing this apparently at a number of different colleges. This isn't the only, I think this is one that they have of video of, but apparently he said something else at another video that I'm watching that was similar to this, where he was characterizing, well, not characterizing, he's attacking Benjamin Netanyahu as being racist because he sides with racists. But the way that he talked about Mahmoud Abbas, who is the Palestinian Authority president, he says that he is, quote, ineffectual. Mm-hmm. Because they have with that martyr money, you know, that martyr money that they pay them families. If one of the members of their families goes and blows somebody up and engages in terrorism, well, then the Palestinian Authority will pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to these terrorists who go and kill people. And he was asked specifically about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And he says, that's when he said, well, he's sided with racists because he's a racist. And then you have Mahmoud Abbas, who's not been very effective in bringing his side to the table either. What in the ever-loving hell? What? Whiskey Tango Foxtrot did I just hear? Holy cow. I mean, it's only Monday. I'm not ready for this level of insanity. If there's any candidate in this race that is the embodiment of someone who would be pursued by cops on live PD, it would be Beto O'Rourke. Just generally. Also his logic. So I'm amazed that this was his. And he likes to go back to this well. I'm looking at a quote that he made in June of last year where he was talking about immigrants crossing the southern border. He likened them to Jewish refugees fleeing the murderous Nazi regime and basically saying that if you say no to any of these individuals, then you're just like people who aided and abetted Nazis. That's ultimately his argument. Why does everybody have to go to the Nazi well? Why does everything have to go back to Nazis? Every single thing these people talk about. Well, I don't really like your position, so Nazis. I mean, that just, I don't know. I'm frustrated. Just,
bigger question, why isn't the Nazi well dry?
Right?
Why isn't it dry yet?
I mean, when are people going to stop with these stupid, oh my gosh. But that's not even, so I got some 2020 stuff. He also, and I'm fascinated by this. Let me pull this up really quickly because I have a million things open. Let me pull this up. So he's got his little website, you know, and their little websites, they have their, oh, here's my policy. And I realize that this is like the Schitt's Creek version of 2020. The show. Let's stop. Calm down. All the competitors who don't have as good ratings as me who are so eager to call the FCC and telling me, just stop it. The website, normally these candidates' websites, they have, oh, this is my policy and this is why I support it. And they usually get a little specific, right? If you're asking them, well, what do you think about taxes? They don't go and give you these grandiose platitudes and paint this amazing, you know, Bob Ross kind of picture without ever explaining it to you what their answer actually is. Like, you walk away informed as opposed to confused. So he's got a policy section on his website. Well, it's called a vision page, people. Let's come in to 2019. It is a vision page. It is not just a policy page, because a policy page, and by calling it that, we would have to acknowledge that he has made a commitment to these particular ideas. But if you just call it a vision page, then it is more, then you can't peg him to it as much. You can't like hold him to it as much. So like, for instance, when he talks about national security, for instance, can I just read you one part of what he says? Now, this is his vision, guys. The vision page is, by the way, mostly videos and pictures of him. And he said that El Paso is like Ellis Island. Just FYI. So here he gets into campaign finance, healthcare, criminal justice reform. So he says on national security, let's ensure our security, not through walls and militarization, but by investing in our ports of entry, where the vast majority of everything and everyone that ever comes into this country first enters, supporting the women and men of Customs and Border Patrol, and treating one another, regardless of our status or how many generations or days we've been in this country, with dignity and respect.
Days?
Yeah. Literally, that's his plan for national security. Was he sober when he wrote this? It's questionable. Guys, you know how we can solve our national security problem? If we just treat people, each other, regardless of our status or how many generations or days we've been in this country, with dignity and respect. It's our national security plan. I'm not making this up. You guys think I'm literally reading from his website. This is the Robert O'Rourke Magically Delicious Irish Charms But Beto website. For real. This is literally what he has. So don't you feel safer? Wow, I'm just going to all about national security. Really love marshmallows. It's my favorite part of the cereal. I mean, that's really, basically, he might as well just said that. So when he talked about immigration, oh my gosh. He has immigration. He has foreign policy. Oh my gosh, the foreign policy is ridiculous. Can we please read? Oh, let's read this. Just bear with me. You guys need to know about this because he's one of the front runners right now. Foreign policy. I'm reading it verbatim. And he starts with a conjunction. I have no idea why. I'm so confused. And when it comes to international leadership, this current administration responsible for spurning our true friends and alliances forged in sacrifice from the generations before ours, squandering a standing this country has enjoyed for 80 years, for nearly 80 years, must be replaced by an administration that strengthens our historic friendships and earns the respect of the world, not just in how we treat people in other countries, but how we treat people in our own country. And building on the Paris Agreement to achieve bolder actions on climate. Foreign policy, yo. It's Beto on foreign policy.
Did a third grader write that, honestly?
No, I'm literally...
This sounds like my kids...
Kane, what am I looking at? What am I looking at?
You're looking at his website, and that's the information.
That's
right
literally... It's literally right there.
It is in black and white. No doubt about it.
Uh-huh.
I just recall my kids bringing home, recycling papers and, these...
This is like the spaghetti necklace of policy suggestions.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly right.
Do you want more?
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
Of course we do.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, he decides when he decides to put a cup some random paragraphs in Spanish. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Just randomly here and not even consistently. So there's more. So that's his vision page. Then you have Pete Buttigieg. Now, Pete Buttigieg, Buttigieg.
I think we got it right somewhere.
He was going off on Trump, and when he was on Meet the Press, and this guy. He acts like he is the bouncer of Christianity, everybody. Now, he has some issues. He goes after people who don't support abortion, apparently. And he thinks that if you support Trump, then you can't be a real Christian, says the guy who's all about abortion. And who also, personally, it is what it is. You can still love people for, even if you disagree with what they do, but don't sit here and lecture Christians, especially when... to be honest, his personal life. That's it makes it a little bit harder for him to lecture people on Christianity. At least Trump doesn't go out there and lecture people on, you know, faithfulness. So it's weird that this guy's going out there and lecturing people on Christianity, especially when there's two huge things that he's got going on. I mean, one of which is his huge support of abortion. And that's the problem. We want you to accept our type of Christian. Your type of Christian isn't. That's how it is. And he says, and here's where, I want to talk about this coming up, because he's trying to say that evangelicals are giving Trump a pass on his bad behavior, which I think is a really loaded presupposition. And there are some Christians that are saying, or some conservatives saying the same thing. And I think that you are logically incorrect. I don't think that anyone has ever given a pass to him on anything. This is who we have. This is you play with the cards that you're dealt. And I think that these individuals are, it's ergo decido. They're trying to undermine that support, trying to find some way to say you can't support this person because of this. You can support what they're doing in terms of policy without supporting what they're doing personally. I just find it really interesting that the people who are making this argument are some of the people with the biggest issues with regards to perfection spiritually. So we got more on that coming up. But I do think that the GOP needs to make sure that they have Oppo research for every single one of these cats who's in the primary right now. They don't want to be caught. You want to make sure that you always have the ability to define your opposition before they can define themselves. That is rule number one. We'll get into all of that as we get going, because we have a lot to cover in the time that we have together today. Kel-Tec, great company. They make some really awesome stuff, including whether it is your CP 33 competition pistol, 33 round mags, factory standard that are shipped to you, which are awesome. You also get the new things that they have coming out. One of those include the KS7, which is the latest in their shotgun series. The KS7 is lightweight. It is pretty compact. It's all about personal defense, backcountry, anywhere you want to go. 18.5-inch barrel, 26, a little bit over 26 inches overall length. So a carry handle makes for easier carrying everywhere. It's just really easy to handle in confined spaces, or if you want to go out into the backcountry, it's great as well. They have the M-lock slots on that carry handle and on the pump and stock. And the single tube magazine holds 6 3-inch shells plus one in the chamber. If you can also do 2 3/4-inch shells, so that's 7 plus 1. Much better capacity than ordinary shotguns. Has that downward shell ejection patented by Kel-Tec, so your line of sight is clear, and it's actually truly ambidextrous. You have the pump release that's right there in front of the trigger guard, so super easy, fast, quick release. Has cross bolt safety. You're gonna love it. Check it out. The new Kel-Tec KS7 is a 12 gauge pump action beast that you need to have in your collection. You can find it at KeltecWeapons.com, KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Listen live around the world
at DanaRadio.com.
Michelle and I talk sometimes, and when we hear that young people aren't voting or participating, we say to them, you would not let your grandfather or grandmother decide what clothes you wear or what music you listen to. So why would you let them decide the world you're going to live in and the politics that you're going to be subjected to?
Yeah, because it's just like your music and clothes, like deciding policies that affect every single person. I mean, like, you wouldn't let your grandparents give you suggestions on purchasing a home or, I don't know, saving your money or any kind of financial advice. I mean, why would you do that? Oh, my gosh. This is what's wrong with everything right now. I have to tell you the story about Isaiah Washington. I was telling Kane this. Some people don't learn lessons about how to not make certain people mad. So Isaiah Washington, who has been in, I don't know how many movies he's been in. I think I've seen everything he's ever been in, because he's in everything. He's like, you know, a super popular actor in Hollywood. And he had gone to the White House, I think, when the president was doing this thing on criminal justice reform. And Trump has done a lot on criminal justice reform, which I support. Because I think I'm pretty much two steps above anarchy And there's certain things that I personally believe. And just because I personally believe certain things doesn't mean I think that they should be legislated. But there are certain things where I just think the government needs to stay out. And I think, like, just to be honest, I think a lot of the drug stuff is just, I think people go too far. I just think that there's certain things. I don't want the government telling people what they can and can't do and can and can't eat and can and can't drink and tell me what I can and can't shoot or how to educate my kids or anything like that or how to worship or anything. And so he's been a huge supporter of criminal justice reform and specifically reforming some of these sentences for, you know, first time offenders or, you know, just I we don't have the time to jump into it this with the minutes we have left, but we'll talk about it later on. Anyway, so he was there and he was praising the president for, he's like, you've done more on criminal justice reform than the previous administration. Oh, my gosh. That did not go well with the progressive left, particularly the white progressive left. And the white progressive left hate nothing more than when any sort of, especially a black actor from in Hollywood who has the CV that Isaiah Washington has, says something that goes against what they think should be true. So they just lit him up. And he decided to double down. And he's now hashtag walk away, hashtag 2A, hashtag all of it. He's a big gun rights supporter. And he's like, I'm done with this. I'm done with this nonsense. And he's, you know, specifically noting he is done with the ridiculousness of people bullying you on the left if you don't completely embrace what they believe is reality, but isn't exactly reality. And so good on him, Isaiah Washington, good on him. And he is coming under some attack. They are just going at him. So, you know, if you see him out there, give him some support out there on social media. And he's got a number of projects that he's working on right now. And he got a TV series that he did. And, you know, he's done everything. You know, he's done, he was on Grey's Anatomy and he did Exit Wounds and he did all kinds of stuff. He's on like Blue Bloods right now, or he was doing stuff then on Blue Bloods. But he's been doing all kinds of stuff. So, you know how they do with anybody in Hollywood that decides to do something differently or think differently, they try to ruin you. So don't let them do that to a genuinely good actor. I can't stand when the left does that. All right, so coming up, we got a lot to get into. 2020 stuff that the GOP need to pay attention to. And we're also going to touch on how the UK is cracking down on social media in a way that don't think it couldn't happen in the United States. Oh, and we got more people mad over red hats. That and tons more. Don't go anywhere.
The progressive left works to silence conservatives across America. Shadow bans on Twitter and Facebook, blocked ads on YouTube, restricted searches on Google, removing conservative apps from the Apple Store. This is corporate censorship. It's time for conservative America to wake up. You have a choice and fight back. With veteran-led Patriot Mobile, America's only conservative cell phone company, every phone call protects your constitutional rights. Every bill fights for your freedom. Get the same reliable nationwide coverage you already have and know that your hard-earned money is supporting conservative organizations like the Heritage Foundation, the NRA, the Alliance for Defending Freedom. With plans starting as low as $25 a month, why wait? Call 1-800-A-PATRIOT and use code Dana or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana to waive your activation fee. We cannot be silent. Join me and thousands of Americans and switch to Patriot Mobile today. Let freedom ring. Call 1-800-A-PATRIOT, use code Dana or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana to waive your activation fee.
I do not actually support a boycott of our state. I think you re-victimize women in particular when you take away the jobs that have come to the state. However, I think it's very short-sighted of our business community and our political leadership to not recognize that these jobs can go elsewhere. Georgia grew its film industry on the backs of the shutdown of the tax credit in Michigan and North Carolina. Those tax credits are still available if those governors, now Democrats, refund those credits. And we've already seen governors across the country say, you can bring your jobs here. I think Georgia has to realize that while we are enjoying an extraordinary boom in the film industry, there's nothing that says it has to stay here. And we have to be a state that is not only friendly to business, we've got to be friendly to the women who work in these businesses. You should not have to worry about your ability to control your bodily autonomy because of the governor has pushed such an abominable and evil bill that is so restrictive. It's not only bad for morality and our humanity, it's bad for business.
First off, that's Stacey Abrams saying that abortion is, you shouldn't, you know, it's yeah, it's great business. Stop trying to stop abortion. Dead babies is great business. Welcome back to the show. Second hour at Dana Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. That's what she's saying here. And she acts like this is bodily autonomy. And I'm going off of Planned Parenthood's own statistics, where 99% of abortions are obtained as a form of birth control. And it is 0.01% where it is something that is actually as a result of a felony. Because women, when they undergo a felony and when they undergo like rape and things like that. And I read there was a piece. Oh, what university was it? They were talking about how women go to the hospital. They're not running to Planned Parenthood. They're going to hospital for rape kits and all of this stuff and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then they deal with that. That's how they're dealing with it. And they work through it through that means. So she acts as though, honestly, the way she talks, she acts as though women don't understand where babies come from. It's like you're grocery shopping one day and you're trying to determine whether or not you want this brand of protein bar or this brand of protein bar. And then all of a sudden you're pregnant. Like, what happened? Just out of the blue. Shocker. It's not really how it works. Not at all. And it's not once you have, I mean, it's just basic biology. While you are supporting a life, it is not a life that is yours. It just simply is not. Period. Pun intended. It's just not. I just thought that was horrific. It's bad for business. Well, at least she says that it's big business and she admits the truth, what we know about it. I mean, at least she, you know, acknowledges that. But man alive, that's pretty insane. Now you can see kind of why nobody wanted her. You can see now why she was losing. Mm-hmm. I have to share this audio with you. We're never going to get over this. I wanted to get that out of the way first before we played this. So this guy, where was he on? He wants to go to med school, and he was talking about how he thinks everyone else should pay for his college education in addition to you struggling to, you know, we're all paying for our kids' college education. That he thinks that he is owed a free college education. Listen to this discussion. This was on 60 Minutes over the weekend. Joe Babinski, he's a med student, and he thinks free tuition is going to help him be a better doctor. Listen.
Do you think this is going to make you a better doctor?
I think without a doubt it'll make me a better
doctor.
Really?
How does it affect that?
For one, I won't be working while I'm in school. I can focus on learning the medicine and being good at it.
And that pressure isn't on your shoulders?
There's none.
Wow, he must suck in life, because there have been so many other people who worked and went to med school and they came out to be amazing physicians. But somehow he's special. He's special and he shouldn't have to do that. So does that mean that people can go to him and get all of their treatment for free? Is he just going to provide all of his services for free? I mean he's not? But he wants free education? What the hell do you think free education means? What's free about that? Where does the money come from? Comes from magic. Comes from the ether. It just apparates in your bank account. That's not how that works.
You know what I think it is? I mean, I think it's government's first step to controlling your debt, your life, so that later when they try to push this healthcare as a right thing, they can go to these doctors that got this free education from the government, because the government's now making them indentured servitudes, right? So this is what this is just like the very first step towards becoming a government servant, essentially. Why do you want free things from the government? Stop. Earn it yourself. You don't
but
have to answer to anyone.
But he can't, Kane. He doesn't want to have to earn it or earn anything, because it's going to distract him from learning about medicines. And doing the medicines. Stop. I mean, you're so ignorant. Oh my gosh.
As long as you
pay. I learn way more when I get stuff for free than when I have to actually pay for it and earn my own success. Right. Said nobody ever. Yeah. Somebody said, I think it's better for me if I keep my money rather than giving it to Joe Babinski so he can make 10 times as much as me. He should have zero expectation at all whatsoever to make any money. He should have a free practice. So, you know, we can, so we all can focus on getting better and then going back to work as opposed to going broke, you know, and dealing with, you know, being able to unable to afford care. That's what we should do. He should provide everything for free. Oh, but wait a minute. What do you mean you can't do that? You want everyone to, I love these people again that think it's free. It's not free. You're a grifter. You're stealing from people who are trying to make their own ends meet and pay for their own children to go to school. That's the whole thing of it. It's a grift. These people who think that somehow they're entitled to your hard work. You're not entitled to nothing. If I'm not entitled to everything you put out, you're sure as hell not entitled to everything I put out. The way this system is set up and the way that some people want to modify it further is just absolutely asinine. I mean, it's crazy. So this, I want to be able to, this is like the Zoolander school of doctors, this guy. He's like the valedictorian. Well, I want to be able to learn this so I can do other good stuff too.
And he won't be able to relate to any of his patients because they are the ones living real lives.
I would not want anyone like this ever getting near me, my physical person.
I couldn't trust anyone like that.
I need to, I can't focus on more than one thing at a time. I can't deal with the stress of having to work and pay for school. Well, then you sure as hell wouldn't be able to deal with the stress being in an OR. Oh my gosh. Or being in an ER. Oh no. No, no, Mr. Babinski. That's going to be a no for me.
I took 14 credits and worked in an Italian restaurant and did extracurriculars. And this was, what, 2 years ago. I mean, I was busting my butt. It was tough.
Yeah.
And that lesson alone is a good one to learn. It's like he's avoiding all of that.
It breeds resilience. And it also breeds confidence that you know that you can get it done and that you can work hard. And I think that you're a better steward of it when you bust your butt and you work hard and you earn it. You're a better steward of it. I mean, that's what's, you know.
You prove it to yourself and you prove it to others.
Right. I mean, it's, that's just, you know, and I really do. Everybody that has ever had everything handed to them, I really think that they don't understand it. I try so hard because when I was really young, my gosh, before I got into radio and you know, when I was in my early 20s and I had my kids, it was, and I'm 40 now. My kids definitely went with, I mean, they didn't have the video games and they didn't have the systems and the game systems because we just some stuff that we couldn't afford. And now I don't want them to think, oh, well, you know, because mom's doing well, then we can just, I mean, I don't give them allowances. And they and one of my sons asked me, like, why don't we get an allowance? And I'm like, I'm sorry. It's like you want me to pay you for wiping your own butt. I don't get it. Like, you want me to pay you for doing just like simple things around the house? No. What you can do is I can present to you an option and you can bid on it. Give me a bid. What would you do for these tasks that I need done? What would you pay me? And then he subcontracted his little brother out for like a ridiculously cheap wage to get it done. And I was just like, I really don't like you right now. But that's smart. That's very smart. I got to give props. But we've never done anything like that. Like, we don't, anything that they want, I'm like, you got to earn it. Do something for me. They, as soon as they're old enough to like do work, my oldest son, I don't make him work throughout the school year so long as he keeps his grades to a certain level. But he is expected to work in the summer or do internships and do things like that. But I'm like, as long as you keep your grades to a certain level, we will help you with car insurance and that. But the moment you fall under an acceptable level, guess what? Spigot's off. And you're going to learn what hardship is. If you don't want to work, then neither shall you reap the benefits of not work, of that hard work. That's how it goes. So, and we've run, and as a result, they're very conscientious. They save. So whenever they actually, when they earn money, they save it. They don't spend it on crazy stuff. They don't ask us to spend it on crazy stuff, which I'm happy about. And I just look at this Joe Babinski and I'm like, who are you? Like, I can't imagine. I would be ashamed if that was my kid on television going, well, I would have walked into that interview with Leslie Stahl and been like, get the hell up. What the matter with you? Get up. Oh, my gosh. I wouldn't have been able to deal, man. Mama Dana, don't deal with that stuff. We didn't even have it. Oh, you can imagine it. Oh, man. You should have seen the conversation. Oh, we had a conversation this morning. I'm not going to get into it because it embarrasses him. But, man, we had a little quick conversation. It was quick, too. Boy, it ended fast. I'm like, nope, we ain't having this. Here's your option. Option A or option B. Pick it. And he's like, I don't like either. I'm like, then shut up. You don't like either of those options? And it's real simple. Real simple. Have a great day at school. Love you. It's very, but I have no tolerance for that stuff. I have zero tolerance for it. I don't know. And I used to think, like, am I a bad parent because I just don't coddle my kids like that? I don't. I just can't. You know, like the parents who are like, I need to make sure that my kids have organic. And I'm like, I don't care. Just eat. Just make sure it's washed off if you pick it up off the floor. You know, just, it's not that I don't care. It's like, golly, everybody relax. Now you get people like this Babinski kid who's like, I feel like I can't go into this and do it right unless it's given to me for free. Oh, my gosh. No, I do not want you near my physical person. Go away. We got more to touch on. Ooh. And did you guys see that Gillette ad? A couple months ago? No. It's the lady razor one, the Gillette Venus, and it's a big girl. No. And I don't mean like healthy big or big boned, or I mean like the morbidly obese girl. Okay, we need to have a conversation because the men out there feel like they can't have it. So I will jump on this landmine for you. We're going to talk about this coming up. Oh, yeah, I don't want to miss it. I'm telling you. CarShield's a great program if you don't want to have to just hemorrhage thousands of dollars for the most simplest of car repairs. You need options when you have to have a costly car repair. And you don't want to spend all your time bargain hunting. Right? You want to be able to go to someone you trust. This is what CarShield helps out with. They make the entire process of fixing your car for a covered repair so easy. I mean, take it to your favorite mechanic or the dealership to do the work. I mean, it's your choice. You get 24/7 roadside assistance in a rental car while yours is being fixed. And if your car has 5,000 to 150,000 miles, you don't have to pay high repair bills. CarShield's administrators have paid out close to $2 billion in claims, and they're ready to help you. Save yourself thousands in future car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate and extended vehicle protection like I've done. Call their new toll-free number, 800-CAR-6000. Mention code Dana or visit CarShield.com and use code Dana to save 10%. CarShield.com, code Dana, or 800-CAR-6000. Mention code Dana. A deductible may apply.
It's The Dana Show.
Oh my goodness, we have headlines. Let's go ahead and kick it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Whew. What won't they tax in Los Angeles? Seriously, because this is the new thing that's causing outrage. LA Times says Sacramento, or in California, period. Sacramento wants to tax soda, tires, guns, water, pain pills, warriors, car batteries, all kinds of stuff. There are so many bills, they say, in the legislature. So, my gosh. I mean, there's a bill that would authorize San Francisco to turn its crooked Lombard Street into a toll road, even requiring reservations. Then you're taxing gas extraction, also taxing corporations based on their CEO pay. If you get new tires, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it goes on and on and on. People have tax fatigue. That's why people are leaving Sacramento, California, LA. They're leaving them, and they're leaving the area in record numbers. I don't want them to, because then they're bringing their voting practices here. New York restaurants are hiking prices and reducing employee hours. The reason why? That $15 minimum wage. Yeah, New York Post says last year full service restaurants recorded a 1.6% job loss, first recorded annual loss in two decades. All of this, they say the once growing industry is contracting, according to the New York City Hospitality Alliance. They represent restaurants in the city. And they said that 75% of limited service restaurants responded that they would reduce employee hours and 53% will eliminate jobs in 2019 as a direct result of wage increases. That's what happens when you do something beyond what the market can handle. This is hysterical. I don't even know how you can, this is KFVS Channel 12 in Illinois. A Union County family got the scare of their lives as drug agents just swarmed onto their property. Laura Benson was the mom. At first, she thought her son had done something wrong. They said that there was a report of a meth lab on our property and they wanted to investigate. But they went back and they said that there were buckets by all these trees. And what they discovered was actually it was maple syrup. The husband has a hobby of making maple syrup. And they apologized, and they say this was the first time they were actually mistaken for a meth lab, because apparently people don't know what the hell meth labs or have ever seen syrup getting. Wow. And Game of Thrones, next Sunday, the final season premiere is expected to draw 1 billion viewers around the world. 1 billion, they say. Across 170 countries. It is one of the most pirated TV shows in history. And they say that this premiere episode is going to be the end all be all for ratings. Wow. So coming up, we should not celebrate morbid obesity. Stay with us.
This portion of The Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at keltecweapons.com.
This is what organizing looks like.
That's right.
This is what building power looks like. This is what changing the country looks like. It's when we choose to show up and occupy the room and talk about the things that matter most, talking about our future. You know, Reverend, you bring up a funny anecdote, and I'm proud to be a bartender. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with working retail, folding clothes for other people to buy. There is nothing wrong with preparing the food that your neighbors will eat. There is nothing wrong with driving the buses that take your family to work.
Oh my gosh. I'm hearing some Hillary. I ain't in no way, it's hard. Oh my gosh. So, yeah. I love what Powerline said. When identity is paramount, it must be jealously guarded. That's true. I think the criticism of her is over the top, but this is what they have built for themselves. They constructed this for themselves. She was at where the hell was she? She was speaking to a predominantly black audience, and she was specifically discussing low-skill jobs. And she was taking aim at POTUS because POTUS had referred to her as the bartender. This was a woman, mind you, that I don't know if she actually has a degree in economics or something else, and she just studied 12 credit hours of economics. I don't know. But she was 29 years old, a bartender, and I'm going to be real with you, and this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I don't believe, and I don't have the confidence in the ability of someone who is a 29-year-old bartender to determine what is going to determine the economic course for the United States, as opposed to someone who's a small business owner and has been incredibly successful with that. Just not. There's a huge difference there. I'm going to trust the small business owner. I'm going to trust the individual who has organized or managed successfully a company over someone who wants to lecture to everyone else and talk about 90% tax rates and et cetera, when she is a bartender. Yet she, and she also, by the way, brought that comparison onto herself, because she attacked her primary opponents as not being as educated as she was. She was the one who introduced that into the public discourse. She was the one who attacked other individuals as not having been educated as she has been. Thus, she knows more. So she was the one who introduced that during her own primary. And it's on the table. And so now she's been criticized for appropriating what people are saying is a quote unquote black accent. And I think that she's using some sort of accent to try to gain resonance with the room. I do believe that. I think that the criticism is a little bit over the top, but that's irrelevant, because this is what the left has established. The left has established that identity is number one, that identity matters above all else for any kind of qualification, that when determining someone's qualifications, the first thing that must be considered is identity. This is what the left has created. This is what they have established, that your identity can even be used against you if it's not the right identity. Identity is so important that they will devour themselves if other individuals select more than one identity box for your intersectionality. That's what they've done with Ilhan Omar. Oh, well, she can claim various identities, Muslim, woman, immigrant. So three identities right there, so you can't touch her. The more identities someone has, the more intersectionality that they can boast of, then that makes them more protected. And because, as I said, and I think this is great from Powerline, because identity is paramount, it must be jealously guarded. That is why she's receiving criticism from individuals who look at what she is appropriating as her appropriating an identity that is not hers to use, because identity is paramount. Identity has become an investment. Identity has become proprietary, which is why people react jealously when guarding it, whenever they feel it is being appropriated. Because when you have identity that is used ahead of any other qualification, absolutely people will guard it and they will attack other individuals who appropriate it. There you have it. Well, and those individuals who appropriate it, while they call other people racist just simply for even disagreeing with them, it never seems to cross their mind that they are racist by their own rules, and particularly so because they're appropriating something that is a marker that is typically associated with one particular identity according to their own ideology's viewpoint. So they've created this mess of hypocrisy and ridiculousness for themselves. And so that's what she's caught up in. She is entirely caught up in that. It was a little bit like watching Hillary go, oh, well, I don't, in no way is tarred. That's what she's done before. And she received, and when she said she carries hot sauce around, Hillary Clinton. Yeah, she received a lot of criticism for that. But this is the whole point. When you have people who will do whatever when it comes to identity, that's it. I want to switch over to Gillette Venus, the razors. I am so done with Gillette. They have this thing called Gillette Venus, the Twitter account now, and it says no retouching, no restrictions, no one way to have beautiful skin or to show it off. Venus stands with all women who write the rules. R-I-G-H-T. Okay. Yeah. So they have come under fire with, they picked a boy who's undergoing a minor who is undergoing surgery to transition into a girl to represent a product for women. And then they have this one particular picture that this was from, I think, Friday, where it is a woman who is on the beach in a bikini. And she is not just, there's, I think two things. I think that Instagram and social media have caused people to be slaves to appearance. I think there's a difference in being a slave to your appearance and thinking that you have to look like an Instagram model, and then just plain being physically unhealthy. And I think that what Gillette Venus is with this particular tweet and with some of the other ones that they're promoting is physical unhealthiness. Because they have this woman who's standing on a beach in a bikini, and she is morbidly obese. She's not just overweight. She is morbidly obese. It's not funny. It's not catty. It is entirely unhealthy to promote something like this. You wouldn't go out there and promote and celebrate anorexia. You wouldn't go out there and promote and celebrate bulimia. Why would you go out and promote and celebrate morbid obesity? Simultaneously, while you're cracking down on kids because you say that they're morbidly obese. But yet, at the same time, you're telling everyone, love the skin you're in. Everything is justified. I mean, do you understand how those messages are completely... And if you think that kids aren't smart enough to pick up on that, you're a dumb adult. This woman, I asked you how much you thought she weighed, Kane. And I'm not... because it's unhealthy.
And I would say somewhere between 350 would be my first guess.
She looks like she's maybe, I don't know how old she is, the camera, or how tall she is, the camera angles.
Maybe in her mid to late 20s.
Well, no, yeah, no, but I don't know how tall she is. I mean that, but that's still, she is morbidly obese. Wherein she could not walk a good. She could not walk very far without, I mean, very far at all without tiring out. When you look at the vascular diseases that she could be subjected to because she is, I mean, she is so overweight. It's not a plus size model. It is incredibly extreme. Incredibly, incredibly, dangerously, unhealthily obese. There's no way that she does not have a problem of some sort, a health problem. Not at this
right.
weight.
No, for sure.
I would imagine she would even have, I mean, because she's. And that Gillette Venus put this out there and they say, go out there and slay the day, glitter plus lasers. And I just don't even understand what that, okay. And they're just getting savaged in their comments because people are like, what are you promoting here? Why are you putting this out? This is not healthy. And it isn't. And there was even several overweight women who said, look, one of them said, I'm overweight, but I want to get to a healthy weight. This is an unhealthy level of obesity. Why are you promoting this? Wow. And for people to say weight isn't an indicator of health, you are so incredibly incorrect. It absolutely is. Because with those issues, morbid obesity comes a host of other health issues. And so there were social justice warriors who were trying to say, oh, how dare you? Yeah, you know what? But what if you had shown someone, you guys go after women and accounts and brands if they promote anorexia, which rightfully they should be criticized. So how is morbid obesity, which is the other end of the scale, how in the world is that any way, in any form, promoting healthy body image? It goes from one extreme to the other. That's not healthy. And this goes beyond social justice warriorism. You're endangering people's lives at this point by saying this kind of thing is okay. Just like we have all of these people, like how they're using a minor who is getting injected with a host of hormones that they have no clue what's going to happen. It's like a cat, let's just inject them. And engaging in self-mutilation. I don't care if it's under a doctor's supervision. It's mutilation. How is that healthy? What is wrong with people? That's like saying, well, you know, they're drug addicts, so they can, you know, the heroin and opioids and all of that. It's unhealthy. Morbid obesity is unhealthy. Dumping tons of hormones into minor children because they decide that they want to be a different gender. And you have no idea what those hormones are going to do. Engaging in, I don't care if it's doctor supervision, in mutilation. None of this is healthy. None of it. What happened to the be happy with the skin you're in? Yeah. I guess it only goes so far.
And I think there's also another confusing, intentionally confusing thing where people are wanting to be critical for, you know, health reasons, but they want to make it as though it's hate. Mm. Like somehow you're projecting hate onto the fat person because you're telling them that they're unhealthy. And instead of it just being a criticism of maybe a lifestyle or something like that, it doesn't have to represent hate right. to hear that what you're doing is unhealthy.
People want to, they want to undermine and they want to immediately invalidate everything that they disagree with, even if it's true, by saying that it's hate.
Right.
So that they don't have to deal with it. Well, that's incorrect and also dangerous. We have more to get into. We have Florida Man on the way as well, which we'll discuss. Superbeats can help you with all-day energy, increase in focus as well. Where's this article I had? I had an article where where was this? I'm going to find this. Where it was actually, I think it was Washington Post, where they were discussing the healthy aspect of beets and how beets can be healthy for you. And I'm like, yeah, really? Because I know that. That's what Super Beets is really all about. It takes the beet, dries it out into a powder, and it just takes one scoop in 4 ounces of water, and you're going to feel the increase in energy and stamina because of the dietary nitrates that kickstart the body's production of nitric oxide. It's highly concentrated, scientifically formulated so as to support healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. It contains the dietary nitrates equivalent of 3 beets too, by the way. And so that nitric oxide will help your arteries widen and become more flexible so oxygen and nutrients can flow through, leaving you with more natural energy. Try Super Beets risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeets.com to get this offer, and you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beets with your first order at danasbeets.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeets.com or call 800-664-5617.
Defending her principles, ideals, and herself. It's The Dana Show.
Oh, man, this show, or this song reminds me of high school, too. So can we have a huge conversation next hour? So do you guys know wallet-sized photos? So kids apparently don't write on the back of them anymore and exchange them. What? Yeah, that's like a thing. Did you know that? What in the world is wrong with our youth? They don't do that. They don't even hardly like sign their yearbooks anymore.
Nobody sends pictures on a piece of paper anymore. That's the
thing. They don't. That was like the thing. You would get a wallet photo of yourself, like your senior photo, your class photo, and you would write like, hey, have a great summer. And I mean, it was, if a boy wanted your picture, that was huge. Or they were just like a good
comments
friend.
On an Instagram photo is how it's changed.
I think
today.
So.
That's exactly.
Oh my gosh, it's so messed up though. I just can't under, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with it. It's really bothersome for me. My kids looked at me like, what in all Victorian hell is that? That's the fate. Like one of my kids said, that's the most Victorian thing you've ever said. I'm like, what? I was a 90s kid. That's not Victorian. What's wrong with these people? Can we discuss that? Will you bookmark it, please? Because I'm shook. Let's hit Florida Man.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
Oh, man, there's some... I don't even know. Some of these are so bad. Okay, so let's talk about this guy. Drunk, shirtless Florida man arrested after shoveling spaghetti in his mouth at Olive Garden. Naples, Florida. A drunk and shirtless Florida man was arrested at an Olive Garden where your family, after shoveling spaghetti into his mouth. The police were called at the Olive Garden on St. South? 5th Street South, because 32-year-old Ben Paget was quote-unquote causing a disturbance, according to a police report. Paget was walking around asking people for money as they walked up to the door. He then threatened a restaurant employee who asked him to stop, saying, quote, I could beat your ass, end quote. When the employee went back inside to call police, Paget followed him in and asked the employee loudly what sort of genitals he has. He was placed in handcuffs, wherein Paget began twisting his body and kicking his legs. Police finally got him into the back of a police car where he started smashing his forehead into the metal cage of the car's partition. He was charged with disorderly intoxication and resisting an officer without violence. He is still in the Naples jail center. Wow. Whew. Okay, I don't even know where. There's some that are so insane. Okay, let me do this one. Florida man was arrested for murder while literally walking out of prison. That's a new one. A Florida man has been arrested again on first degree murder charge 18 years after the homicide occurred. So Randy Peter Silge killed Simon Clark in 2001. No arrests were made, but they investigated Peter Silge as a suspect. They reopened the case. They indicted him. He was incarcerated. During his indictment, a detainer was on him. And then after his release, he was placed under arrest again for first degree homicide. Okay, I'm thinking, did he kill somebody? He's like, he walked right out. This is an old one. Let's see here. Oh, gosh. Yeah, we're doing this one. This is happening. A Florida man was rejected 400 times by the DMV because he tried to get phrases like got MILF, F the letter U, and then LIVR, and then left nut printed on license plates. 400 times. It's the Tampa Bay Times. This guy 400 times, and the Florida DMV rejected him every single time. Yeah. There you go. Oh, man, we got so much more. Another hour coming your way. Stay with us.
Despite not being involved in this case,
and understanding the questions that people have about it. I am again availing myself to an independent review of how we handled this case because it is owed to the public because that is the question that is asked. But I will also say that our office over the course of the last 2.5 years has used diversion or deferred prosecution with great frequency. When people say to me that this appears that you are doing something for someone who is of privilege, I say to you, look at the 5,900 other people who have not had that same privilege.
Yeah, they didn't have those connections. Oh, welcome back. Third hour of the show. I made a horrible mistake right before we started the show. I can't tell you what it is. It's not
I call
good.
It a learning experience.
I found this the most incredible GIF I've ever seen in my life. And it is not something I can tell you guys about. No. By the way, that was Kim Fox, the Jussie Smollett case. I'm going to come back to that in a second. Just so you know why I'm gleeful. Because I found the most amazing GIF I've ever seen in my life. And I showed it to Kane. And now I can't. It's in Slack. And I can't get away from it. It's right there. And it's hysterical. I'm like crying. No. Because then I want to save it. Oh my gosh. It is the best thing ever. All I can tell you is it involves Cookie Monster. All right. Let's get to some serious stuff here. Before Jeff Klingerman freaks out. Gosh. We're still going with that. 3 years later. And we are still popping it. So Kim Fox says racism is behind the criticism of her office dropping the Jussie Smollett case. Couldn't have, or maybe it's because you suck as a prosecutor. I mean, and you've let like really serious hardened criminals go and just wrist slaps. Or maybe it's because you're corrupt. I mean, that's also a possibility. And someone decided to intervene because they did not want,
I don't think it was racism. I thought it was logic and fairness is what made people wonder what the heck was going on. The fact that there was logic and all of the fairness just absent from this whole Jussie Smollett case.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people, it had nothing to do with racism.
No, it didn't. Yeah, it didn't. Yeah, so there you have it. I just think it's silly that they're still running with this. They're still, it's because... it's racist. Okay, I just saw the story I got to share with you too. So you know Scott Israel, after he got shut out of Broward County, he is job shopping. Now he's looking at, okay, I'm not going to say this correctly. Opa-locka, Florida? Opa-locka? It's spelled like Opa, like the Greek version. So now he's job shopping. He's legit job shopping. Scott Israel is job. He wants to become sheriff in Opa-locka. That's where he's. That's from the Miami Herald. They say that the former corrupt, incompetent sheriff has. He said it was a power grab, not because he's totally incompetent, and he's going to get back up there somehow. So now he's looking at police chief in Opa-locka. Mm-hmm. They said. Miami Herald says it's a would-be marriage that links Broward's most controversial politician with Miami-Dade's most chaotic and dysfunctional city. And it has politicians and observers on both sides of the county line reaching for the popcorn. Oh, dude, he's going to end up on Cops, like, as the person that the police are arresting. The Opa-locka Commissioner Alvin Burke wants to push for the hiring of this joker, who, yeah. Oh, man, standing in Burke's way is interim city manager Newell Daughtry. And possibly the city's charter. Daughtry accused Burke of trying to strong arm him into hiring Israel. Wow. Wow. So, I mean, it's so crazy there that former Governor Rick Scott in 2015 established an oversight board because he declared a state of emergency in Opa-locka after whistleblower complaints that the city was in financial ruin. Wow. So, yeah, Scott J. Israel is looking to capitalize on the corruption in Opa-locka, right, to go for that job.
Because nobody hires on incompetence anymore.
Yeah, no, apparently not. So, yeah, I can't, wow. So that, I mean, they've already been in a lot of trouble because they said that the city was just essentially just broke. And so that's why former Governor Scott had to establish this oversight board. Holy cow. So there they go. And apparently other people are speaking out about Daughtry trying to strong arm. They said that one individual, and this came because when from Burke strong arming, excuse me, Daughtry was the one who was standing up. And when Daughtry blocked Burke from hiring Israel, Burke began to try to fire Daughtry. And so, I mean, it is, and then it's just been, it's insane. And then you had the former city manager, Ed Brown. He was just deposed as part of a lawsuit filed by Michael Pizzi on behalf of Charmaine Parchment, who says that Brown fired her out of retaliation for exposing corruption. And they said, this is insane. So this guy, this snake in the grass, is going to try to find somebody else. He's unbelievable.
Some other city to infect.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So he's going to try to, he's job shopping, and Scott Israel wants to capitalize on the corruption in Opa-locka to get a top cop job. Wow. Unbelievable. Right? Holy.
It's kind of believable, though, knowing what we know about Sheriff Israel. It is kind of believable that that's where he'd gravitate.
I mean, it is unreal. Unreal! I'm going to watch this for sure. Holy cow. So, okay, here's the thing. I learned this over the weekend. My oldest son is graduating high school. And everyone's like, how do you have... I had my first child when I was 21. My husband and I were very young when we married. And he's graduating this year. And everybody still does... I mean, you send out graduation announcements and all of that stuff. And so I made him fill out all of the envelopes, address them to our family. And, you know, here's the formal way to do it, et cetera, et cetera. And he was like, school didn't teach us about the formal addresses. He's like, the school's about teaching you to be a taxpayer. I'm like, oh my gosh, stop. I can't handle your wokeness. He's not actually an SJW, like far from it. Obviously, I'm his mother. But one of the things that I discovered, because we were with some of the family announcements, you know, you put a picture of their senior photo in the announcement. And I touched something. That was me. No, it's fine. It's fine. Sit down. You put like a photo in the graduation announcement when you send it, right? And I asked him about wallet photos. And I was like, okay, so do you need some wallets to exchange at school? And he was like, what? I'm like, some wallet photos. Do you need some wallet photos to exchange at school? And he looked at me like I had just sprouted another head out of my shoulder. And I go, wait a minute. Are you telling me you guys don't do that? When I was in school, and it wasn't that long ago, in the 90s, hello. Like, when I was in school, what we would do is we would have these wallet photos and we would write on the back of them to our friends and we would exchange them. Right? You give sometime, I mean, usually it was like a 2.5 by 3.5. Sometimes you would get the bigger ones for your like best friends. And if a boy asked for your photo, oh my gosh, it was totally serious. Unless they were just like one of your bros. Friend zone, yeah. And he looked at me, he and my youngest son, they thought I was crazy. Because we even did this in elementary. And he goes, nobody does this. And I go, nobody writes on the back of wall of photos? And he goes, no. No one does this. And I go, are you serious? And he goes, I've never even heard of this. He goes, what in the Victorian world are you talking about? And I go, what? This was the 90s. Oh my gosh. I'm like, we invented BFF. We would write BFF on the back of our pictures to our best friends. Like, what in the world? That's something that they don't do. They don't do that. Is this not crazy? And there were only, and this is what really blew my mind. Apparently there were only a few people, and I mentioned this on Facebook, that were in my comments that had done it also. Everyone else was like, we've never heard of this before. And I'm thinking, what? King, you did this too, didn't you? Did you do this in school?
Yeah, in grade school and in middle school. I mean, in high school.
You would have the wallet photos and you would write on the back of them.
Yeah, because they were like 2 by 2.5. I think they were cut like 4 by 5, you know, 4 by 5 right. Was cut in half. And so each one was called a wallet size photo. And on the back was completely, you know, it was white backing, so you could write stuff on the back, little notes or whatnot, to whoever you're writing. And here, it's a picture of me. You know, here you go. And you would have messages. You'd have notes on the back of those pictures. Whenever school day pictures came in, that's kind of the first thing you do.
And my mother told me, she was like, don't you dare give any of these out until you bring these photos home to me first. I mean, you were threatened within an inch of your life. Steve, did you do this in school? You were in the early aughts, right?
Yeah, so I remember.
So
I remember doing it in fifth grade and fourth grade. So that would have been 2003 or four. But then after that, I stopped. It was more, once the cell phones came out, there was no manual anything. It was just Instagram.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's basically just sharing photos through your text.
Yeah, it's just people do everything on their phone now. So that's probably not a thing anymore.
That is the saddest thing.
It's actually Snapchat is what's really taken the place of it, honestly.
I'm on Snapchat, and I also became friends with my kid and some of his friends, and they sent around the meme because Mama Dana was friending them. It's the meme on Snapchat where your mom becomes your friend on Snapchat, and this is us at Bible study, and this is us ready and awake and excited to learn. And then getting a good night's sleep, and it's 9:01 p.m. So, and you know, it's all fake, but it's funny. But and I could tell that their stuff changed because I became friends with them. It's like, I'm not policing. I'm just, you know, here in your space.
But you heard of streaks on Snapchat where it's you have to be consistent every day and sending back and forth chats back and forth, you know, snaps back and forth. And if you miss it one day, you broke your streak, right? So it's kind of, there's kind of that.
There's
going
all
on
kinds
with
of
Snapchat,
stuff. Yeah. It's just sad how it's changed. I loved the photos, and then I did the memory book, the senior memory book. Did you do a senior memory book?
Yeah.
That was kind of more of a girl thing than a dude thing. Yeah. Holy cow! I had all my friends' pictures. Everybody signed it. Did you do a memory book? I bet you didn't, Steve.
No, I didn't do one. Some girls did, but it wasn't really a guy.
My memory book was my yearbook.
Oh, thank heavens!
I had a yearbook too, but.
Someone else says 1986 Westfield High. They did it. Now, I know you cool 80s kids did it. And our 90 kids did. We 90 kids did it. So it looks like it started stopping around 2003, 2004.
When cameras started getting phones started getting cameras.
That is the most depressing thing I've ever. I was shook when they were telling me this last night. Shook to my core. See, I'm so glad. Pat on Twitter says, yeah, we did it, 1986. Because there were people in the 80s who were I graduated before you and we never heard of this. I'm like, where did you go to school, Mars? Everybody did this. Okay, so I'm glad to see some people did this. Okay. Still, that's amazing to me. Ugh. We have a lot more to come and you don't want to miss it. And we're going to get in some Today in Stupidity too. So make sure you stay tuned. So I checked out Vetter Holsters. And because I I'm really picky about the stuff that I use when I go to the range or that I carry for EDC, all of that. And I really am stoked about the Vetter Holster brand. It's made right here in the US of A. It's a husband and wife team, family owned business. And one of the things I love about these industries is that it's these small family owned businesses that really push progression and technology and advancement. It's awesome. They have tons of 5-star reviews. The cool thing about the Vetter Holsters is I have their concealed carry light tuck. It's comfortable, it's adjustable, and it has a sweat shield to keep the slide clean and sweat free, which is awesome. And it weighs only a few ounces. I am, because I'm shorter waisted, I have a really hard time finding comfortable holsters, and I love Vetter holsters too. It's really, it's a precise fit and it is a very thin profile. So I'm able to carry, I carry a number of things. One of the things I carry is my SIG P365, and it's such a thin profile, even my Glock, my 19. Such a thin profile. They have it handcrafted for over 250 different types of firearms, 85 colors and patterns. You're going to have all the adjustability you want without any of the stuff you don't want. Just awesome. And they also have a fantastic leather gun belt too. It's hand sewn right here in the US of A. And they have the step down Cobra buckle, so you can thread it through your pant loops. Super durable, super fast. You have to check out everything that they have. VetterHolsters.com/Dana. You can get 10% off site wide using my name as the code DANA. VetterHolsters, VEDDER, holsters.com. Superior holsters that you can only find at VetterHolsters.com. Use promo code Dana to get 10% off site wide. Better Holsters, proud to be American made.
It's the Dana Show.
Little Luscious Jackson. It's time for some quick five. Oh, yeah.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Socialism is so great, say Democrats, but Venezuelans are rallying to demand just like electricity and water and to end Maduro. That's what they're doing in Venezuela after weeks of power cuts and limited access to water. Tens of thousands of Venezuelans took to the streets Saturday to back opposition leader Juan Guaido and protest against President Nicolas Maduro, who they say, you've ruined the economy. You've wrecked it. Maduro is he and Guaido. Guaido is like the legitimate leader. Maduro refuses to leave. And he's got backing from Russia and China, and they're desperately trying to bait other countries stupidly into some sort of, I don't know, some kind of conflict that's not going to work. Who takes meth to calm their nerves, by the way? A model, this is according to Daily Mail, with the fear for flying, is fighting for her life because she took meth to calm her nerves on a flight to St. Petersburg. Who does? I call shenanigans. I'm calling shenanigans. Yeah, I just
by accident. Right?
Yeah, I don't think that that's. Bald eagles are taking trash from a Seattle landfill and dumping it into suburban yards in New Jersey. They are, or no, sorry, in Seattle. They are done. It's raining trash in the suburbs of Seattle. Bald eagles are telling Seattle folks, knock it off. And they're dropping trash into people's yards every day. Popular Mechanics has the story. I think it's hysterical. You know what? Go tell them to stop. They're going to come down with their little eagle face and talons and rip your head off. That's what'll happen. Stay with us.
The Dana Show is now available on demand. Subscribe on iTunes and get full episodes delivered right to your phone.
Well, I would stack up my experience against anybody. I know it's not as traditional. I haven't been marinating in Washington here for a very long time, and I'm not part of that same establishment. But I would argue that being a mayor of a city of any size means that you have to deal with the kinds of issues that really hit Americans. It's everything from infrastructure to economic development to racial sensitivities in policing, not to mention the fact that I would also have more military experience under my belt than anybody to walk into that office since George H.W. Bush. So. I think it's about quality as well as quantity in experience. But, you know, I think you can also see pretty clearly that I'm about as different from this president as it gets.
Oh, my goodness. That's Pete Buttigieg who's talking about all this stuff. Well, he's the mayor of South Bend. But I also think, too, that I don't like mayors. I'm not into mayor being president. I think you just need to, I don't know. But I'll say this. He's kind of the media darling right now. He's taken over Beto. He's checking them intersectionality boxes. Whoop-a-doop. He's got that. He could end up being preferred by them over, Beto. But there's something that he's doing that I don't think Republicans are really wising up to. And that is, I don't think that right now, I don't foresee Buttigieg being towards the end, being a contender, being at least like being in the top towards the end of the race. You know what I'm saying? I don't see him as being one of the top Democrat contenders. That could change, though. And I don't think the GOP would be ready for it because I don't think they have any oppo on this guy. That's the thing. Their oppo game, of course, I mean, I say this, Democrats' oppo game is, you know, but the Republicans' oppo game, as evidenced by the stuff with the Lieutenant Governor Fairfax and all of that stuff out in Virginia. How are you not finding this, Republicans? What is wrong with you? What is the matter with you? Y'all need to be stepping up your oppo. Democrats do. But Republicans need to be ready for something like this. In order for a Democrat candidate to be effective at overtaking Trump in 2020, they need to be everything that he's not. Buttigieg is kind of that. And you know what they'll do with Buttigieg? If Buttigieg, if they will, I can't, the name is just, there's so many consonants in it. I say this as someone whose name is almost entirely made up of consonants. Anytime anyone disagrees with anything else that he says, it'll be because they're homophobic. Just like it was, you're a sexist if it was Hillary Clinton, or a racist if it was Barack Obama. They will do that. Can you imagine Trump and Buttigieg debating? And if Trump decides to get aggressive, how bad would that look for him? That's the only advantage Buttigieg has. He doesn't have any advantage in terms of, you know, policy and ideas. This is a guy who's already trying to make the Christian justification for abortion, for crying out loud. So he's lost on that. But can you imagine it, though? Just insane. But this is where they're, this is where he's going. He would need to, he would need whatever candidate it is, they'd have to be able to be everything Trump isn't. It's not going to be Stacey Abrams. She just whines constantly. Everything that woman says is whining, 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 whining. She didn't win. She lost. And then she has the audacity to say that killing babies is big business. Well, yeah, it is. Oof. There you go. There you go.
I was,
but that's what they're going to, that's what they're going for.
I was seeing pictures of Beto rallies in Iowa, and people were not showing up for him. And people are loving Pete in Iowa. So it'll be, that's the litmus test for the election. We'll see how it goes.
I think what it boils down to, too, is like you alluded to earlier, whatever they can defend on in the intersectionality world, whoever ticks more boxes in that regard. So instead of having defended a policy or an idea, how many intersectional boxes can you defend?
Right.
And, you know what I mean? And that's kind of what I think Dems in 2020 are looking at, which is why I think Joe Biden, even though he would be their best bet, is not going to make it.
Right. No, I don't. I just don't see him. I don't see Biden making it through. I don't see Beto making it through. I don't know if I even necessarily see Kamala Harris making it through, or a Gillibrand. Yeah, I mean, if it, it, the only way Joe Biden would make it through is if he gets a VP early on. I think he would, sort of similar to what Romney did. He would have to, or what Cruz tried to do, he would have to get a VP early on. To make that, to overcome that, to make that case, to give himself a little insulation. But I don't know if, I don't know if anybody would do that, because they would be taking a back seat. They would be taking a back seat to that. I'm not quite sure. So, I don't know. I see, like, for instance, I'm looking at this headline from CNS News. Kamala Harris proposes giving families making less than $100,000 a year a $6,000 credit. So, no, tax credit that they can draw from every month.
For the entire year?
Mm-hmm. Proposed, anybody making, she says families who make less than $100,000 a year, they can have a $6,000 tax credit, which they can draw from each month.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. And they, what?
So, are they saying what they're, the problem they're addressing is by, but with this idea?
What, oh, because, you know, they have trouble affording stuff. Okay, so why don't you just allow them just to keep their money anyway and reduce some of the regulations that make certain things more expensive for other individuals?
Right.
Oh, no, we couldn't do that. I mean, we can't actually reduce the things that actually contribute to making things more expensive. We just need to take those things. We need to have those regulations so we can justify taking more of your money and redistributing it for votes. That's what all of this is. Yeah. I see Republicans. So Ivanka Trump has a tweet out where she's introducing the doubled child tax credit. And I see, and she's one of those who's been celebrating family leave. The child tax credit too. I think we should just stop with, I think you should just go straight no chaser. Stop with income taxes, period. Let us keep our money, change to something that's consumption, a graduated consumption based. system. And that way you don't have to sit here and do all of this stuff so that families can survive. That's what's insane. And then, or you don't have to sit here and have Republicans dip the toe into progressive waters of promoting paid family leave. I wish they would actually discuss the things that create to all of this. I really do. Several things here. I'm going to go through because I've had, there were a couple of things that I wanted to bring up. What's his face? Eric Swalwell is running for, he wants to run for president too. No one's talking about the town hall that he had. He, even though he lives in California, he decided to exploit what happened at Stoneman Douglas and have his own town hall in Parkland where he announced that he was going to run for president. And apparently he even got rounded some of the students up into helping him do it. Is that not the most exploitative thing you've ever heard of? He doesn't even live in that state. And he goes, the politicians who live there, even the Democrats had the sense to not use that as a launch pad. Even the ones I don't like had the sense not to use it as a launch pad to foist themselves into the Democrat presidential primary. But Eric Swalwell wasn't one of them. How shameless is and just callous is this guy? So he has this town hall and he spent all the time before it attacking law abiding gun owners and then decides, oh, I'm going to have this town hall and I'm running on gun control. Talks about banning all semi-automatic firearms. And then essentially, if you don't agree with him, then you're pro murdering kids, even though he supports Planned Parenthood. This is this guy. The fact that that's how he started his campaign is insane to me. My gosh. I don't know. I don't know. He sounds like he would be very good friends with Scott Israel, though.
Did he threaten nukes to get him to work with him?
No, he actually didn't threaten nukes again. Yeah, that is the same guy who actually talked about how, quote, the government has nukes, so, end quote, whenever.
He likes to throw that threat around pretty easily.
Yeah, Duke Nukem? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Duke Nukem there. Golly. It is just the most insufferable primary. It really is. And then you have Kamala Harris, who had tweeted over the weekend, speaking of 2020 stuff, where she had made this remark about firearm ownership. She says, she tweeted, "For too long, the powerful gun lobby has poured millions of dollars into our elections, handpicking a Congress to turn a blind eye to gun violence. I say enough is enough. I love these people. I say enough is enough. Oh my gosh. Americans demand smart gun safety laws and deserve action." Who demanded that? First off, what amazes me is she's trying to not directly mention the NRA. Planned Parenthood gets $500 million taxpayer dollars a year, and they turn around and they spend millions on Democrat campaigns. The people who are law-abiding gun owners and NRA members, they are not even in the top 20 of donors. They're not even in the top 30 of donors, in fact. I was shocked that somebody would tweet something so stupid. Because they're not in any way even remotely close to being in the top of that. And it's not the money spent on campaigns either. The big thing is that everybody goes out and votes. So there's the Open Secrets that shows all of the donations and all of that stuff. So for instance, when you look at the number of the amount of money and the candidates and how much, for instance, gun control groups have, I mean, it's almost like over 3-1 how much they've overspent the quote unquote gun lobby, which is you. There was a really good piece over at Market Watch not long ago where they talked about how actually small the financial support is from the quote unquote gun industry, and that it's really the gun control folks that spend millions and millions hand over fist over what the quote unquote gun lobby does. That's the thing, and they're not taxpayer supported. like Planned Parenthood is. And they do, Planned Parenthood does get over $500 million of our money, and then they turn around and spend it almost, well, they turn around and spend it exclusively on Democrat candidates. So it's like money, a money laundering situation. The problem is, it's not the amount of gun that, it's not the amount of money that the quote unquote gun lobby spends, it's that people go out and vote. And they are motivated to go out and vote because they're motivated due to, they don't want any loss of right. And that goes a long way. That's more powerful than however much, you know, however many donations somebody gets. So whenever I see that stuff, I just, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. One of the other stories, that whole, the story that has to do with the woman who had the jump drive and all that stuff at Mar-a-Lago. She had apparently had a hidden camera detector in the hotel. People were saying that she lies to everyone. This Chinese woman that was arrested, and they said they searched her hotel room and uncovered more than $8,000 in cash and a signal detector used to reveal hidden cameras. Oof. So one of the things that was noted by the Miami Herald is that Secret Service agents apparently put her thumb drive into their computers. I don't even know what in the hell that is. No joke. It's a Secret Service agent, Samuel Ivanovich, who interviewed Zhang, the Chinese woman at Mar-a-Lago, testified at the hearing. He stated that when another agent put, he and other agents, they were putting thumb drives into their computers, apparently, and that it immediately began to install files, a quote, very out of the ordinary event that he's never seen happen before during that analysis. The agent had to immediately stop the analysis to halter any further corruption of the computer. Oh my gosh, wow. Yeah, that's like, don't do that 101. You don't just put, Don't go anywhere. We have today in stupidity coming up, although that would certainly qualify. I do have to say. Blink motion activated cameras, by the way, speaking of cameras, are great when you need a pair of eyes wherever you can't be. And you can arm each individual camera so that if it notices motion in a place where there is not supposed to be any, it will send you a clip and you can determine when and how to act, right? And the cool thing about Blink cameras are that they are wireless. You can put them anywhere. They run on two lithium batteries that last for up to 2 years. Blink also has a live feed option, meaning you can monitor your home and check in on kids and pets from anywhere you are using your Blink app. No contracts, no subscriptions. It's totally affordable. And you can save up to 42% on outdoor cameras or up to $200 on the multi-camera XT system going through April 20th. So home security is easier because of Blink. Visit blinkprotect.com/sale. That's blinkprotect.com/sale.
To hear today's full show, subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on your device to catch anything you may have missed.
So I noticed this by a friend of mine in our affiliate out in Atlanta, Eric Erickson, who caught this story that had. So Pete Buttigieg is going after Mike Pence, apparently, for some reason. He had tweeted, or he had said in an interview, "That's the thing I wish the Mike Pences of the world would understand, that if you have a problem with who I am, your quarrel is not with me, your quarrel is with my creator." And my friend Eric said, "Yeah, Mike Pence has said nothing about Buttigieg. Pence lives rent-free in the man's head. His willingness to use Pence as the basis for his unprovoked attacks on Orthodox Christianity suggests that Buttigieg is not really the Christian he claims to be." Yeah, I agree. And if you think abortion is a form of birth control, I say the same thing too on that, which he does. Tell me about your Christianity when you're totally fine with killing babies in the womb out of convenience. These are simple truths here. Don't sit here and try to redefine a faith for people when you refuse to see the plank in your own eye. I'm not a fan of this guy. Even the devil can quote scripture. You know? It is what it is, what it is. All right, today in Stupidity, Kane, I'm going over your
all right.
time.
Jeffrey Toobin was out there trying
to... You mean the guy who got with his best friend's daughter and
right.
then... Okay.
Trying to gaslight you that somehow someone's legacy has nothing to do with how much the media says about them, but here he is.
But Christian Nielsen, I think, is a great example of what happens when you go to work for Donald Trump. He is the great reputation killer. I mean, here's this woman who, you know, was a reasonably admired bureaucrat, and for the rest of her life, people will look at her and think, oh, that's the woman who put children in cages. That's the woman who broke up families across the border. And you know what? They'll be right.
Well, they won't be right.
Like
they'll
how
just be...
you wanted to break up the child in the uterus of your girlfriend's stomach because you didn't want to have anything to do with
exactly.
it. And she had to go and like get like paternity tests. And this was the woman that you cheated on your wife with. And it was also the daughter of your best friend.
It's Jeffrey Toobin.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying that, Kane. All right, folks. We got you set up for the rest of this week. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a great night.